Jonathan Peterson の政治家なんですね。メディスにヘルプをバラッとバンタ研究所中。I am going to ask the honorable members in the discussion and will also ask the officials from the administration to read in the show. My name is PhD Marcelin Stolo. In the NCOP, I am representing a very beautiful community called Dumala, which surpasses the Western Cape in terms of this.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mohamed Suleiman, and I'm from the Northern Cape. And if you want to come for a holiday, come and enjoy.
My name is Faith Mabibuwa. I come from the Kamas province called Kamkeng. That is very only by the land of Kamas and Kamas.
Mine should be Kamas.
Good morning, my name is Maggie Magala, also from Kamkeng.
Are there any?
Yeah.
No. Oh, we are only for love now. I don't think what they're for one to love one form, and not for to love one can be addressed. As long as that does not tend to chauvinism. Okay. Hope members will not be chauvinistic. Okay, we now allow the department to also introduce themselves. I will take the presentation.
I think he's pointing at you because I'm the obvious one, and we had an engagement with you, Mr. Shepherd.
I know.
I'm Martin Rikai from the Department of Science and Technology, and my colleague, Jeffrey, and I'm going to introduce the rest.
Thank you, Marjorie. Thank you, Chair. My name is Beth Lorca-Capello. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for Human Capital and Knowledge Systems in the Department of Science and Technology, and if you allow me, I'd like to request my colleagues, starting at my far left, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Mofila Kudura, Department of Science and Technology, the Lab Division.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Professor Quinn, and I look after radio astronomy advances in the Department of Science and Technology, which includes the curriculum.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Pashi Munyomo. I'm from the Northern Cape, and I'm the third manager of the Red Cape.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Fatih Rezalini. I'm head of communications and information technology in the Office of the Premier of the Northern Cape.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Asama Isela. I'm also from the Department of Science and Technology.
There are three law advisors here. They need to be for them to be the help too.
This is
from the parliamentary diaries in Gaza. Can you introduce yourself?
Ngiyabonga sihlalo, igama nguVele, sibonga kumphele, ngisuka kwa-DST. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Yusanta Shikleta, and I come from France.
Good morning, Chairperson. Andrew Bowling from South Africa.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Portia Mahuadis, France, and here you go.
Everybody once again is welcome. I didn't know that they were representatives from other stakeholders here. And let me also say you are, of course. I do know I read some people from Council of Things, among others, when the NA had public hearings, you know. Looks like you feel that it feels unfair. But I think it is a geographical one, eh? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's right. You're welcome.
Yeah, Chair, I can see all smiling through them. They are very happy with
us. All the smiles of Chen Sindhu, all the love, we are really happy. Okay, now I'm going to like a room. Now, without much ado, we are meeting here with one item or two items on the agenda. The find that human finds in that country live, and the, what do you call it? Astronomy, geographic, advanced PhD, PhD. Those are the two things that are in front of us today. They are 75 bills that are completely dealt with in terms of Section 75 of the Constitution. We don't have to send this bill to the provinces. We will finalize them at this level here, at national level. NDA has already passed this bill that is sent to us. We will start considering them today. In order to do so, the legal procedure is that we call it practice. It's too brief. To give us a briefing on what the bill contains. And from there, we will ask members to ask questions of studies. Let them take it from there, then we have another meeting where we will be able to finalize. Without much ado, I will call whoever is going to meet us in the presentation of human science and health council, be to do so either way.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I
take
that members have copies of the presentation, and we will talk through that, the copy. In terms of the structure of the presentation, I'm going to talk, give a bit of background, and then describe roughly the kind of process we followed, give an indication of the institutions that were consulted, talk briefly to the purpose of the bill and some of the key elements of the bill. So if I move to the background to put this in context, the HSRC was established through the HSRC Act of 1968. Since then, that same act has been amended a number of times, with the last amendment having been made in 1990. Obviously, all of this happened before the promulgation of the CSMA and the King II Code of Corporate Governance. Now, the DFC at that point, in 2003, commenced with harmonization of legislation governing the science council. As the honourable members are probably aware, the DFC manages the governance of these institutions through undertaking reviews, institutional reviews. And in 2003, the HSRC was subjected to an institutional review, looking at the quality of the science, looking at the governance issues, and so on. And it was felt that there were so many amendments to the HSRC Act that it was much more advisable. In fact, Cabinet suggested that we rather undertake a process to introduce a new bill for the HSRC rather than introduce further amendments. Now, the recommendation for a new bill for the HSRC also called for a stronger focus on the public-purpose approach of the HSRC, orientated and give scope to its activities in the future. What was looked at was the need within South Africa of stronger evidence-based research to support policy development and decision-making in government. Also, science-based information for society and the understanding of development. There were consultations after that review, institutional review, between the HSRC and DFC. And these consultations looked at what were the recommendations coming from the review, what position was HSRC advocating, and what was government looking for. The HSRC subsequently held a workshop with various stakeholders at the Premier Conference Center. This was on 28th of February in 2005. They also succeeded in bringing in international perspectives, some views coming from experts from the Irish Research Institution on Social Sciences. There were also comments invited from the public through the HSRC website. When the HSRC completed these steps of consultation, they prepared a consolidated report, which included input from the workshop and the public comments. And this supported ongoing work then on the draft bill that they gave to the DFC. The DSC held some working sessions between April and May of 2005 to get to the point where we had a draft bill. And Cabinet was approached to consider this draft bill. Cabinet at that point, end of 2005, requested a much fuller briefing on the strategic of positioning of the HSRC within the NSI. I would like to remind members that at that point, the DSC was introducing a new governance system for the Science Council in the National System of Innovation. And the Cabinet wanted to get a sense of how does the HSRC fit within the system of innovation. And DSP then delivered that presentation to Cabinet on the 11th of October, 2006. Progressing from there, on 28th of November, the bill was once again presented to the Cabinet Committee and members were requested to submit further comments to the Minister. A week later, on the 6th of December, 2006, Cabinet approved the submission of the HSRC bill to Parliament for consideration. And the HSRC bill was published for public comment on 25th of May, 2007. The closing date for those comments was 1st of June, 2007. And DSP sought separately to get input from Department of Education and as part of the composition of the board from Department of Public Service and Administration. So the consultations within government as well as the process for putting it out for public comment. The Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology held its public hearings on the bill on the 14th of August 2007 in Parliament, and comments were also received from the National House of Traditional Leaders. This is specifically because there are matters of indigenous knowledge systems and intellectual property around that incorporated into the bill. And the Human Sciences Research Council dealt with some of those comments. The bill was subsequently approved by the National Assembly on 12th of September 2007. Now, the broad range of institutions that were consulted included the HSRC Board, the HSRC Institutional Review Panel, the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, the CSR, the National Research Foundation, NRF, the Africa Institute of South Africa, AISA, and the Economic and Social Research Institute of Ireland, our South African Department of Labour, the South African University Vice Chancellor's Association, and members will pick up that now we've actually referred to ESA, because Southport is now part of ESA. The Interfaith Community Development Association was also consulted, and then the Policy Coordination and Advisory Services Unit inside the Presidency, the State Law Advisors as well, and the general public. Now, the purpose to seek on substance, the purpose of the bill is designed to provide for the promotion of research in the field of human and social sciences. It's also designed to provide for the continued existence of the HSRC, and this is specifically recognizing the public purpose function of the HSRC and matters connected to that. The key elements of the bill before us provides the preamble, objects of the council, functions of the council, the board of the council, meetings of the board, committees of the board, and appointment and policies around the CEO of the council. We see also employees of the council, matters of transfer and secondment of persons to or from the employee of the council. This issue is one of the things that the department has been applying. It's mind to in terms of aspects of DSC legislation that we're reviewing. We have members of the Science Committee move from one council to another, from council to government department, from government department to Science Council and so on. Intellectual property rights, the funds of the council, regulations, and the repeal of laws. Now on the preamble, we go back to the preamble. What it focuses on is the recognition that it's necessary to promote the human and social science research of highest quality. If Chair and members, we consider where the social sciences and humanities play out, it's in the field of understanding people and how they organize themselves in society and how they respond to change. It includes scientific fields such as sociology, philosophy, development economics, anthropology, political science, and psychology. These are fields of understanding, fields of science that affect people. And the recognition by government that it's important to promote research in these disciplines so that we build a strong body of intellectual capital and knowledge on the social sciences dynamics. This is also recognized in our 10-year plan. The preamble also recognizes that we want to improve the understanding of social conditions. And this is becoming very critical in today's world where you find environmental concerns and social concerns must obsess us beyond issues of GDP and economic growth and so on. We have to look at the social dynamics. Members of the social and human science community must also engage in Africa and the rest of the world. When we look at environmental change, climate change and so on, it doesn't only prevail here in South Africa, but it affects us on the continent and in the world as well. So we have to study these social conditions in a global context. So this act recognizes that we're not just looking at social conditions in South Africa, but we're looking at it as partners on the continent. The objects of the council. It's been designed to recognize that the council will initiate, undertake, and foster basic research as well as applied research in the human sciences. It will also be encouraged to inform processes in the making and monitoring of policy that govern policy and evaluation and implementation of policy. It will stimulate public debate through the dissemination of research results and information. It will build research capacity and infrastructure. And yet, government has recognized that when you are trying to understand social dynamics and how society responds to change, it has to be evidence-based. It has to build on large volumes of data. And you actually need an organized, central organization that has that capacity, that infrastructure, that keeps that data, that works with CEP South Africa and other similar organizations. It must also foster and support research collaboration and networks and institutional leadership. The review that was undertaken that I mentioned of the HSRC in 2003 indicated that there has to be stronger linkages with universities. And so this is why, in terms of the functions of this, we recognize the need to strengthen these linkages and networks. It's designed to also respond to the needs of vulnerable and marginalized groups. And members are no doubt aware that right now in South Africa, we face with a challenge in terms of definitions of vulnerability, definitions of poverty, and we encourage the HSRC to actually work much more strongly on responding to understanding, deepening our understanding of the needs of vulnerable and marginalized groups. Develop and make publicly available new data sets to underpin research. So there will be considerable amount of surveys in at a community-based level and so on. Undertake investigations and research, as well as advise the minister through research and the utilization of research results and the manner in which research may be promoted. Also the development of human resources in research in the field of social and human sciences. Now this council, the board, in terms of its composition, the minister will appoint the chair, and there will be a minimum of 6 other additional members, but not more than 9. So if you include the chairperson, it will be a board composed of 10 members. We deploy the standard criteria where we require that there must be representation from the wide breadth of our social sciences and humanities fields. Representation in terms of financial capacity, representation in terms of legal, human resource, and governance matters. And the Act has actually been quite specific in terms of requiring financial expertise and a representative from the rest of Africa. So there will be on this board a non-South African, but it will be an African, and it's to get that global context we're talking about. The term of office for this board is 4 years with provision for reappointment. The provision for reappointment allows for the benefit of continuity of members. The meetings of the board will be 4 times a year, and the board itself will have leeway to determine procedures of the board around those meetings, the power to convene special meetings, and the Act indicates that the board is quorum, provided there is a majority of board members present. With the committees of the board, these are designed to assist the board in meeting its obligations, board commitments, and the Act allows the board to appoint these committees. The Act is specific in terms of a governance committee, where it allows for the setup of that governance committee. But we expect that it will, of its own, determine its needs of finance and an audit and those other committees, which is in compliance with PFMA and so on. The governance committee would advise the board in connection with matters relating to proper governance of the council. This is on policies and guidelines on board practices. The CEO of the council, the board will appoint the CEO with approval of the minister, and the term of office will be for 5 years. And the CEO will not be allowed to serve for more than 2 consecutive terms. The Act also provides that when the CEO is absent for more than 2 months, then the board is allowed to appoint an acting CEO, but with approval of the minister. If it's for less than 2 months, then the board has the right to appoint someone from within the ranks as the CEO. The employees of the council, matters relating to transfer of these employees to or secondments of other persons. Act allows for the CEO to appoint employees in compliance with labor legislation. As far as the board is concerned, it will approve the higher level terms and conditions of appointment, but the board will not at the micro level actually do appointment of the employees. The transfer of appointment of persons, as I mentioned before, this Act now allows for the HSRC to second persons in the full-time employee of the state or from other institutions to or from the HSRC. One of the conditions, of course, is that the rights and privileges must not be adversely affected. The Act talks also specifically to ICR. I've mentioned before that on this matter there were consultations with the House of Traditional Leaders. And there is a requirement that intellectual property be registered and the council must award financial participation in the completion of the rights of such as a precise security. That will be predetermined by the council. The HSRC will derive its funds from the parliament through the MTEC processes. It will get fees, subscription fees, let's say for publications and so on, royalties of books that have been published, donations, and these are specifically foreign donations where the HSRC does get some grant funding and any other revenue accruing from similar sources. The minister is allowed in this Act to make regulations on matters affecting the HSRC or in connection with the functions of the HSRC, of interim measures for the governance, where the board will be dissolved, current board, repeal and amendment of laws that are affected by this new bill, is the HSRC Act of 1968, the amendments to that Act of 1975, 1980, 1985, and 1990, which also mentioned that the Associated Institutions Pension Fund Act, coming into, is also affected by this new bill. On that note, Chairperson, concludes the overview of what the HSRC bill is designed to do and the benefits that will come to the
Thank you very much. Chairperson, you have listened properly to the presentation. You'll find that the Board of Council, the term of office, will be 4 years. And that of the CEO will be 5 years. So, now one sort of accept nowadays that the term of office will be 4 years. So, I would like to know what was the reasoning behind the change for the Board of Council for 4 years and not 5 years. And then, secondly, the board members can remain amongst themselves, appointing a CEO. And I And Chairperson, I think I have another question here, but I will come back to it later.
On the first question about term of office, it's designed to provide that overlap with the board's 4-year term coming to an end, and at least have the CEO going in 1 year with a new board
in that new board, we have an opportunity to recruit a new CEO in there during their office, during the course of their first year in office. So it was to provide that overlap between the functions of the CEO and the board. The appointment of the acting CEO by the board, this only happens if the CEO is absent for less than 2 months. So it's the kind of normal course of events where it's illness or where there is some, let's say, perhaps a leave of absence of the CEO is seeking for study purposes or something like that. It's not an extended, you're still going to be staying with you. If it's more than 2 months, then the board has to actually go into consultation with the minister in order to look at appointment of an acting CEO for a longer period of time. On the perspective of the state law advisors, the legislation does allow for a scrutiny of the demographics of the board. And it's in that context that we will be looking at gender, we'll be looking at race and even representativity across, let's say, your different universities and other fields. The circulation is in two national newspapers. This was an effort to ensure that it's not localized in terms of specific areas. And it allows for more than two, but at least shouldn't be less than two national newspapers. Yes. This came under discussion and we were looking at comments on the at least two. And then we saw that it's quite standard to put two national newspapers as well as the government to this. But the intention is not that one actually wants to limit it. The discussion has come all three around the two. It's envisaged that if there is a transfer of function, let's say to the Minister of Social Development or the Minister of Education, then that will be effected through a presidential minute where you'd actually transfer administration oversight of the agency to another minister. But at this point in time, they were deliberating with those reviews of the science institution where it's felt that sector specific research institutions should report to sector ministers, like on, let's say, minerals and energy. So your energy research institute, your processing mineral technology institute, report to the Minister of Minerals and Energy. Agriculture reports to the Minister of Agriculture. But institutions such as the HSRC and the CSR, they have a very cross-cutting function. Your CSR does work for transport, they do work for a number of agencies and so on, and you're factoring the DTI. And HSRC works with education, HSRC works with social development, it does work even with the DTI and the presidency and so on. So that cross-cutting role, in that assessment in 2003, it was determined that HSRC is best placed with Department of Science and Technology.
With regard to the amendment, you can amend the bill as much as you can. And also depending on the on the volume of amendment in such a bill, then you decide to overhaul that bill. Especially it has been amended for quite a many times and it is an old bill. So you consolidate and do the cleanup. In that we consider many sectors in of having that is a consolidation of the deal. One of those is that you subject that bill to undergo the scrutiny of policy considerations. Even all those things that are already in force. So they will be subject to policy consideration again. And you, NDC, it will take time, the time of both the department, everybody, the parliament, for the things that have already been approved. So you will, according to those things, sort of trying to consolidate that bill. And you choose the shortest route, which is that amending those things that you need to amend. If I come again to what the Spanish was saying with regard to the assessment of the newspaper, it is celebrated that today at least two nationals. When you think of those two national newspapers, and what I think is the which is national is the sanitized is in every province, and Mail and Guardian is also a national newspaper. Other newspapers are provincial newspapers, say for instance, in Western Cape, Tibeca, and Cape Town. Eastern Cape is the Dispatch, Devon is another paper, Dobek. Then that is the route that we
prefer. Thank you very much.
Where it says that the composition of the board must be closely representative of the democratic process public. With the statement trying to cover issues of gender and disability as well. So the word democratic will cover. Thank you.
Thank you. Is a hand right
here? Chair, just to make an addition to the question asked by Honorable Mazibuko. On how do you manage transfers of responsibility, say, for the time transfer from one minister to the other. We actually went through that exercise when the CSIR, which used to report to the Department of Trade and Industry, was transferred to the Department of Science and Technology. What happened was we had to do an amendment from the CSIR Act. Thank you.
There was a question asked by Honorable Chief, which was saying what I said. I also, asked that question, where you are saying that in consultation, in appointment of the board, in consultation with the National Assembly. Mm-hmm. If Queen was why the National Assembly, why was the rationale? Why not Parliament? But the other aspect of the question is, this whole question of in consultation. What is the rationale to say in consultation, even in parliament? Because it would mean that if there's no agreement, then there will be no appointment. Why is it not a whole question of after consultation? So that you give the minister the leeway. Because if you say in consultation, they will say there must be an agreement all the time. And if there is no agreement, then the minister can't appoint. And if the minister can't appoint, we have no board. That's my problem. Can you tell us the rationale behind that? Maybe there is some rationale
behind it. Thank you, Chair. I had actually hoped I was answering the
the easy demographic question and my legal policy. But we deliberated, well actually I couldn't say we, the National Assembly deliberated on this matter, and they took a decision that it should not be after consultation, it should be team consultation, so that it allows them to actually make input during the process of the shortlisting and so on for the board this executive. And so this is where we are sitting in terms of the minister will be making those appointments. There were discussions with the minister.
Are you satisfied with that position?
We were not satisfied with that position. And the minister was seriously concerned because his view was that this actually causes a tension between, let's say, the parliamentary jurisdiction and the executive jurisdiction and responsibility.
The safeguard advisor, what is the procedure? There are so many legislations that are passed by the parliament where boards were actually appointed, where they are supposed to be appointed. What is the regularity? What is the you know, the normal way of dealing, which is objectively helping the country and the people in parliament rather than constraining them?
Thank you, sir. In the rest of that was invited in the NPA quite heavily in the sense that it was the view of the central advisor that the after consultation is the approach to go. And there was even an opinion that was submitted by the central advisor in that regard. And also, the department was also in agreement with us, and we sort of emphasized that it must be after consultation, and which is in effect the route that we used to change. The FA said that they had a meeting with the meeting of the chairperson, and it was agreed there that now we want to be in consultation.
I'm sure Professor that the what they call legal language when writing legislation. And although of course yes, Parliament does is the one that actually finalizes. But I hope Chaperton they will know that the N2P we are not our first of and we are a house in Parliament. So meaning already they must know that there might be some amendments that can include the N2P, especially on the issue of National Assembly number one. Maybe our proposal in the Parliament because we are sure it means when they say National Assembly, they leave us out of the NPOP. But then they say Parliament, in effect, we won't be dealing with this legislation if it's not a few on hand. And number two, on this issue of consultation or in consultation, I'm sure we'll also try to consult further as a committee in order to, you see, then they need to be consistent in relation to the proposal. More on the system, but they find others.
The minister may, after consultation with the board, remove the amendment. This is what the amendment is. But I read something different here. Well, I do have a different opinion. It's say you told me about the removal of the members. You told me there about appointment of the board.
Okay, fine.
No, understand. Fine. Yeah, but just one thing this is well asked. That in this proposal is they say made after consultation. Something else. The other is in consultation. So that is that something that you can create. Thank you. Can you please talk to me? Thank you. I think that was one issue that I wanted to raise here, that's the last one. So, I think Romans 2, 4, 2, 3. In respect of any other occasion, in one of us, the council must all those issues, and then in order to achieve its objective, the council may then undertake in respect of any other service rendered by it in terms of this act, change or charge such fees, make such other financial arrangements needed for concurrence of the Minister of Finance. In other areas, when you refer to the minister, you're saying the minister of science and technology with the concurrence of the minister of finance. That's what you're saying in many other areas. But here you are saying directly, in other words, the minister of science and technology becomes irrelevant in not making mention of her in here. And it is like your intention to make the minister of science and technology irrelevant in this part. And then, the other issue I think is I think it's also not understanding that it's also when you talk of both of content. Number 5, number 7. There you also say the minister must inform the National Assembly. I think the same issue that operation there also where members are saying no. Because we think it's inform me, it has not been parliament. That's our view. We are raising this people that you can come back to us and say what you think about it. And then, I think, this is just I think it's just a problem. Okay, those are some of the three issues that we thought would raise in this case, So you want to respond to some of those.
Yeah. I don't see anywhere where it talks about in a board chairperson, you find there are the chairperson and Namanyamame board. But here, I notice only talk about the board chair. I specify who is, that's why I'm trying to do things really here. Because then you find in other legislation, it tells you who is the chairperson now, either is appointed by the minister or in consultation with the minister. And then dialogue will be the same.
I think the question is on principle that we are talking only about the chairperson and that the future of the deputy. That's not talking about the deputy chairperson. The board are not coming like the deputy. They are not saying about the deputy. And many of the people of the deputy that have passed here, it seems, only when the chairperson is in control of the deputy. It's intentional that you think there's no need for the deputy chairperson. That's not the issue. Yeah.
The thanks, on 4-2 on page 4, the question about the financial arrangement.
Yeah.
I think the deliberations there was that there is already a requirement under PFMA for the council to receive authorization from the minister relating to new services. We'll come through in the business plan that we need approval and the quarterly reporting and so on. So the only thing is to bring in that there is a need for concurrence to be secured with the Minister of Finance. So when we talk to the financial arrangement, that is in compliance with CFMA, with the standard legislation. On the matter of the board of the council on page 5, 7B, the minister must inform the National Assembly. I do take your point, Chair, and we will be looking into that one, unless my legal advisory and the state law advisors can give us some further clarity on that one. And then in terms of the question on the board and the chairperson, I believe it's the minister designates the chair, and the chair in terms of this bill is required to preside over the meeting. It does indicate, I'm not too sure where that is, I'm going looking for it very quickly, that the council, if the chairperson is not available and it's a special meeting, or in the chairperson's absence, the member of the board elected by the members present can serve in its place. That is at 7, on page 5, 7, 4. So it does allow them to ensure that things don't get down. Yeah. I think those are the ones we should...
7, 4, 3.
Page 5, 7, 7, 4. It's at line 46. Line 46?
45.
45, okay. 45, 46. Then I'll tell you who the capital or industry. So it would be, yes, it would be someone deputizing for that specific but elected by the board members themselves to decide. It's a very small board. You actually have about 10 members.
Even if it's a small board, you also need it. Because if you don't have a deputy chairperson, it means, and if you read this line for the book, it says the chairperson. Or in the chairperson's office. Why does it start with the chairperson first? Well, let me tell you the third issue. In the absence of the chairperson, a member of the board may be there. So that, even if it's a small board chairperson, I want to find out why he might have a deputy. Because one or the other chairperson, who doesn't have a name? You may find it's not only enough that the chairperson, in other ways, we want to make chairperson people who simply preside over meetings. We can't give them other responsibilities. So you find if then there are other responsibilities that have to be taken upon, this chairperson, his or her hands are full. And you may find sometimes with this consideration of demographics and other various stakeholders in the field of human sciences, you can't have a professor or university who's also very, very busy. It means on those committed times, this chairperson is compelled to actually be there. So, Mina, chairperson, that's why I'm curious on this, to say why but they only talk about the CEO. And also, chairperson, still on the issue of the term of office, isn't it that other institutions, they make the term of office of both to run concurrent with the term of office of meeting. The interim minister or cabinet or whatever. I mean, it's 5 years. So meaning, if this board then is 4 years, it means halfway through the line, their term of office ends, and the CEO is in Kubera. And when the new board comes in, this CEO will be more clever than these other old members, these new members, that is, within the body, and one long. And another half eye. Things happen this or this. Because then they're basically, for now they're new. And it here, of course, there is issue of continuity. That is allowed. But I'm just a person, if you want to, you know, I don't know whether you can compare to other global trends to say how do they put their bonds. But why allow a bond to serve only 4 years and see, oh, yeah, now has that opportunity to actually serve for 2 years, while the minister serves for 5 years? And, you know, I'm sure they understand my thinking. I'm thinking aloud. So that then maybe it's also that. Because sometimes you have to go and explain some of these things to people. And remember, as members of parliament, get lobbied also. Also, I allow a vote to only 4 years and GCA. That must be a better position to be able to respond, would be what's the motivation behind this, or what's the thinking behind this, so that then, and also the consistency in legislation. There are issues. We don't compare apples to grapes. We compare apples to apples or apples to peers. No fat. Yes. No fat. So that there's other legislation to find. And I'm sure state law advisors do have a forum where they sit and discuss some of these things. And that they decide and compare. Although one member would tell you that you can put 10 lawyers in one room, they will never agree on anything. But I'm sure state law advisors, they agree on something because. Yeah, it has to do with the life of the people and the state credibility and everything. I saw one or the other day after someone. So there's a consistency in some of these legislations. If we agree with the legislation, you know, the language should actually look the same. So in government, we need to engage the students at university to say they must relook at some of the, you know, give them a chance to relook at some of the legislations.
Thank you. I think these are the concerns of members. I don't respond.
Okay.
I'm going to pick up that. Okay. I'm going to respond. I think it's another idea of my team. Because I want to step off. Let me come up with a level here. I'm going to respond to the form.
On the bill, page 5, line 21, the minister must inform the National Assembly of People in the leadership to admit a member of the board and the review thereof. The follow-up is the National Assembly. I just want to check. Can we have one issue or a microphone announcement?
I'm saying, this is a problem.
The point is that the issue has been issue because it comes again here. I just want to tell you the department in the previous day that they consider it so cheap as a house, the second house of the house of parliament. I think that's what they're doing for that. I've got the synopsis document here. When they say separate paragraph, it also determined that at least one board member must have financial expertise, but another must be the distinctive expertise of the social science, especially in South Africa. They were talking about 10 members maybe. Now, if they identify financial expertise and social science, what about the other? Maybe they will be able to decide which expertise and the expression and the recommendation.
Thank you. Can you respond?
Yes,
please. I hope there's no other member going to read anything out.
Yes, there was quite strong deliberation on the term of board and the term of the CEO. And some of the interesting aspects were, if you have a board 4 years and a CEO 5 years,
see you can just wait until that board term is over and you can introduce the thing you want with the new board. But there's the other aspect of if you have both the board and the CEO's term of office coinciding and they end at the same time, there's a huge gap that opens up in that institution. There's the other dynamic that if you make the CEO's term shorter than the board's term, then it means that the board appoints, as they end in their term, they appoint the CEO that the new board gets landed with. So that just gives you a sense of some of the deliberations that went on. And then there was a sense that it's more appropriate for the CEO to remain on at least a year because he's got the history of the organization to take into this new board. And then that board has time. They don't feel under pressure, you know, to within a month appoint the new CEO. They have that year while they've still got the old CEO. And then, of course, there's opportunity spaces if they want to shorten, you know, that year and bring in a new CEO. So those were, they just were quite heavily deliberated. But you're quite right, in terms of harmonizing legislation, it's something that should be spoken to. I think we did respond to a comment earlier on that we must both investigate this indication that it's about the minister informing Parliament or the National Assembly on his decision to remove a member of the board. So that we could come back on. And then in the context of the composition of the board, in terms of fiduciary responsibilities, we flagged up front that there must be a consideration on one of the board members having that strong financial background. And then because it is the Social Sciences Research Council, we actually zoomed in on having representativity in terms of the social sciences and humanities. It's the practice within government that the others are usually someone who's got HR background, someone who has got a legal background, and then someone who's just got research management type of background for that sector. So on the HSRC, some of the time we actually look for someone with an education, understanding the education system, understanding the social dynamics as well. But such that answers that last question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there another one? Any other issue?
Yes, if I may just add on the CEO and the report. You are quite right when you mentioned that property is not a condition. The CEO, if you take into consideration, is the one who is managing, who has the day-to-day management of the organization. The board only meets on several, if I'm not mistaken, it is the fourth time of the year. So they are those people who just come for meetings most of the time. But the CEO is there. So for benefit of continuity, and the CEO has to get more time until the new board that comes in, so that there is no vacuum in the sense that nobody knows what is going on.
Thank you. Now, I want to suggest that we step off this deal. We have raised our concerns of this issue in Parliament. We will apply our minds to it, and we will actually see the debate amongst ourselves and see what is it that we want to amend the matter that we want to be. And that is actually the dealt with in our next meeting. And in the meantime, we'll expect each and every caucus that is here to go and liberate from their own on each and every floor. So when we come there, we'll deal with it floor by floor, and each and every floor can be tell us as to what its view is on each and every floor, and we'll vote on each and every floor, and finalize it. How do we do that? Yeah, I think that's all. Thank you very much. Conviction. The second item on our agenda is the, what do you call this one now? The astronomy thing. Astronomy geographic advantage is
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Once again, my name is Deborah Zebrez. I've been requested to give a presentation on the Bible Conference. We have distributed a presentation in paper form, which is about 6 pages. The outline of our presentation is as follows. Especially I'll talk about the big picture astronomic plan for South Africa and the purpose of the bill. The process today, examples of astronomy advantage areas, the impact of the bill in communities where there has to be radio silence for radio astronomy, and the continuing engagement of stakeholders. On slide 3, we have what we call multi-wavelength research. What it basically means is that when you're doing astronomy, there is a range with which you can work in. And as Southern Africa, it is our target to have land-based telescopes that cover all forms of astronomy. There is the Southern African Large Telescope, which is in Sutherland. It's an optical telescope. There's also the High Energy Telescopic System, which is in Namibia. It's a gamma ray telescope. And at the moment, plans are underway to build the Karoo Array Telescope in the Northern Cape. And linked to the Karoo Array Telescope is the Square Kilometer Array, in which South Africa is sitting, and at the moment the range is between Australia and South Africa. There was shortlisting that happened in September of last year, where two of the centers fell off, and one of the two countries that remain at the moment are South Africa and Australia. The primary purpose of the bill is to protect astronomy investments already made in South Africa, but also to attract other astronomy investments, which may include a project called the D-Band All-Sky Survey and the Deep Space Network Array. Over and above that, the purpose of the bill is to maintain an environment where Southern Africa can become a global astronomy nucleus, where it is a preferred destination to come and conduct astronomy research in Southern Africa. Over and above that, the bill also provides us with a competitive advantage over Australia to win the bid for the SKA. So far, the process is as follows. The first draft of the astronomy bill was presented to Cabinet in 2005 and approved for public consultation process. The consultation happened in 2006, and towards the end of 2006, the amendments to the astronomy bill were presented to Cabinet again. No, the amendments were presented to Cabinet. This was the second time that the Cabinet saw the astronomy bill, and it was approved for tabling in Parliament. Presentation was done to the Science and Technology Portfolio Committee, and it was recommended at that stage that there will be public hearings. There were public hearings on the 31st of July and on the 1st of August, but prior to that,
the Department of Science and Technology in South African SPA Project Office and the Northern Cape government met with communities and municipalities of Carnarvon and Williston to discuss the impact of the bill to those communities and the opportunities that may arise from some of the activities linked to the collective array. Further to public hearings, there were amendments to the bill, and these were presented to the Science and Technology Portfolio Committee in September. And the Portfolio Committee adopted the bill. The bill was presented by Minister Manyela to National Assembly and approved by the National Assembly and referred to the National Council of Provinces. Just as a way of explanation here, when you talk about the triple-eight or the astronomy advantage areas, there's essentially three types of advantage areas that are in the astronomy belt. There is a core advantage area where an astronomy device may be located. This is where we actually have the actual telescope itself. In most instances, this is an area that will not exceed a diameter of 5 kilometers. But you also have the central advantage area, and these are around the core. And the purpose of the central advantage area is to protect the core from any surroundings that may have negative impact on the actual telescope itself. And thirdly, we have the coordinated advantage areas. And these are areas that act as buffer zones to ensure the preservation of good quality observations in the central and core advantage areas. When you look at the map on the next slide of Southern Africa, where there is a slight purple color in Namibia, some part of Botswana, some part of the Northern Cape, and hardly anywhere else, the purple color indicates that there is 0.2 people per square kilometer. It means that these areas are sparsely populated. And the idea for the SKA is that you put the telescope where there is very few people so that you do not affect or have to relocate communities. And that is the whole purpose of the SK, that you put it in somewhere where it's radio quiet. Now the Northern Cape obviously came at quite an advantage this time around, but it didn't have quite a huge population, which means that radio astronomy can happen quite well within the Northern Cape. Next is just an indication of how, in general, the thinking is around advantage areas. And there are two black solid lines. The outer solid line is an example of what may become the coordination zone, and the inner black line is the central advantage area. You wouldn't see the core advantage area here because it's only a 5 kilometer diameter area. Now, in terms of the impact, obviously there's concern at the moment when you want to do a major project like this is how is the project going to affect everyday life? Will people still be able to listen to radio, FM? Will they still be able to make cellular telephone calls, which are quite important today, especially in sparsely populated areas?
I can put it on record that the SM will not be affected at all in all of the areas, because the SKA is outside the SM band. When it comes to television transmission, there is a plan already which is underway to migrate from analog to digital transmission, which I believe will end in 2011, which means that what can be done is that you can replace the analog with multi-channel low power transmitters. What these do is that they do not broadcast over a bigger diameter. So it will only be located within a town, for example, like another, where you have a low power transmitter. It will only be limited within the vicinity of the town, which means that it will not in any way affect the FKA site, which would be on the in terms of cellular telephones, there are already studies that are done by the South African FKA project office with Vodacom as a representative of the telephone company to try and come up with technical solutions on how to deal with possible negative experience of cellular telephone to the FKA. And what they have come up with today is that you can actually develop a technology that has communication that goes away from the actual telescope itself. So you can actually shield the telescope from the cell phone market. Last week I'd like to talk about the stakeholder involvement. In August of this year, the Department on Astronomy Legislation and Regulation Stakeholder Forum. The first meeting was on the 17th of August, and the whole purpose of the forum is to engage stakeholders on a continuous basis on issues that relate to legislation and the development of regulation. So, what would happen is that various stakeholders would engage in the SKA project office, for example, where they do studies to determine how certain technologies can be accepted so that they work together with the telescope and not, I think, have a negative effect on astronomy observation. And the follow-up meeting of the stakeholder forum was on the 4th of October, and there are plans to have the next meeting in towards the end of November. Over and above the stakeholder forum, there is the Interim Regulation Advisory Committee, where the department will discuss with interested stakeholders on the drafting of regulations that will emanate from the astronomy. I think this is where I will leave it for now, but maybe just in closing, Chair, is that at the moment, the competition between South Africa and Australia to the SKA is almost equal. Both the sides where it seems fit to hold the SKA. And we see the astronomy itself as providing us with a competitive advantage, because it will demonstrate that as South Africa, we would actually protect
this investment that will come to South Africa through an aid. And I think, Chair, if there are any additions to that from my colleagues through you, then you can do that.
Are there additions from this colleague?
Yes, Chair. Through your permission, a little bit, my colleague omitted to indicate the size, at least the anticipated size of the square kilometer array in terms of investment. It is at a moment estimated that the square kilometer array would be about 1.3 billion euros. So, in terms of investment in the country, if we were to be successful, and indeed that we are quite confident that we would be successful, if we were to be successful, the SKA development in South Africa might have ripple effects, not only on the economy, but also on the practicing of the science of astronomy in the country. Just wanted to make that.
Thank you. Further anything? No. Thank you very much for the presentation. This opportunity is not just for honorable members to interact with you. I don't know if members will guide me that. I'm not going to see a letter here directed to me from Transnet, and I know that Transnet is here today. I want you to go not in the whole public way on this thing. They were held in the NKA and in the inside house. I have seen in my office, you know, a very big pile of presentation that's made by, you know, different stakeholders. They will tell us whether they respond adequately. But they will want to see those responses from the different stakeholders, you know, as to how they responded. That they admit all those people who have some concerns. And it does look like some members, what they confirm that it was already up here. I want to ask the members in Algeria, but we allow it, you know, to tell us what the problem is, so that when we finalize the deal, we will also consider. I do not say favor of this, but I'm just saying we will consider that we should have told us here. From that, can we start the deal before coming on?
Thank you very much for the opportunity that you've given us. We should hear the brief background and the correct point of Transnet did have a chance to bring in its presentations and to raise its concerns before the various bodies during the parliamentary hearing and the public hearings on this issue. Our issue for purposes of the members here is that the proposed site for the SKA project will impact on the current rail and freight activity of freight in the Sichuan Saravdana railway line, because the actual area there is traversed around those lines and we do have radio access that will possibly affect them. The 88 will empower the Minister of Science and Technology to prohibit or restrict the use of radio frequencies and the construction and expansion of railways in a core or central astronomy advantage area, which in turn is intact on freight rail. Should freight rail be required to change the manner in which it conducts the business, it is envisaged that it would cost freight rail approximately 200 million to connect from its current operational mode. And the following steps were taken so far. Section 23A of the 88 Bill only provides for the payment of compensation to persons who are required to cease activity in totality. And there's no provision for compensation to a person who are required to incur expenditure to comply with the bill that is not to have ways that actually disturb the actual telescope itself. And obviously to that effect, state aid would therefore not be compensated for the 200 million spent in modifying its existing infrastructure, to accommodate the needs of the radio quiet zone along the Sultan-Saldana radio line. The discussion was held obviously with the committee of transport technology, and we raised an issue that what we would like is an in-principle decision and an in-principle clause in the Act, not one that specifically talks to contact, but one that talks to any enterprise or any government entity that has to incur cost for modification. And that is what I would really like to put to the House. Now, at that point in time, the argument raised was that why don't we go and explore the Treasury contingency reserve? So we did that, Chair. We went back to DPE and we explored that possibility and we were told that they're not going to be available. And hence, what we're asking for today is that the committee and through the Chair just consider it's a very bare minimum to insert a clause under Section 23, there's A, B, and to have an additional clause C, which states as follows, where any activity is required to continue under Subsection B, that is an activity that is going to be modified because, as Mr. Dioka pointed out, there is currently bilateral between the departments and all parties that could be affected. To look at how the effects would be, how they would be affected, and what could be done to minimize any of the disturbances to allow the telescope to function to the full capacity. So to that effect, what we're asking for is for a modification of clause that accommodates that, goes further to say, where any activity is required to continue under subsection B, and subsection B reading as follows, prescribe conditions under which any activity may continue in order to reduce or eliminate the impact of the activity on astronomy and related scientific endeavors or astronomy advances in the relevant area. What we're asking for is that prescribe the conditions under which compensation will be paid to an organized state in having to comply with the prescribed conditions. So we're not specifically, and I need to stress this, it's not to say context is just looking for its own compensation, it's looking for a possibility of that. So it means that from the constitutional perspective and that Section 25, which deals with you can be compensated for complete closure, if the Bill of the Act does not eventually have that embedded in it, it would be impossible from a regulatory perspective to then create a compensation issue, because we all know that compensation from a government department has to be either legislated, they have to be budgeted for. And therefore, if we are going to look at a situation where we do not have just the principal basis in here, we would have a bit of a problem. And that's the only indictment that we ask in the House to consider. Thank you.
I still want to say, I always wonder, I always assume, where two departments of the same government can't agree up there when they have it. Because you are president of the department? Which are on their own and not talking to each other and the like, you know? We expect that all problems of that nature need to be sorted out and addressed. And when you come to parliament, it is a united government that comes to parliament. So they, as government, this is the situation. We don't see it as an independent department of science and technology coming to parliament. We see that government coming to parliament with that thing, but departments are there to facilitate this work. But ours is one government. So I'm not saying we don't consider what they're saying, but I'm saying sometimes I get surprised when departments of the same government come here and conflict in two. It is kind of problem. So you are fine. What do you view what you're conflicting in? Is it correct to have this type of situation?
Not at all.
and there is also that thing is that coming from spring like
we have reasons to temporary one for the evening. We will look at it when we finalize. Honorable
yeah, thank you, Chief. Chief, just to say I hear what the said today. When a burn is being drawn up, because the burn goes to the environment, the financial situation. And if I listen to the proposal from the judge, that's their financial situation. We have a big lump of money being so perhaps when we get to that point and deal with this issue, we'll have to look at our profits and experience. And be as it may be, we'll have to see them.
Yeah, I think it is important to find out from the department here as to this financial implications. What are you budgeted for this? You know, financial implications of my positive here.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The position at this point with regard to the department for any assistance that might be required or provided at all, the department, through the regulation, would actually invite for public participation and the affected parties as well as interested parties will be identified in that process. So that whatever the interest that they may have with regard to the increasement regarding the bill with their activities will be outlined at that process. So we do not actually opt to put any specific provision inside the bill which will cover compensation and fine. So all this will be covered through the regulations, there will be public participation, all the
Thank you very much. In the presentation, there was the progress of stakeholder meetings. So we talked there. We did not instruct you that program. Stakeholder meetings.
We tried the process here very much so, and we are part of that. The fact is, this is a legislation, and it talks on financial issues, and we all know in this country how the state compensates. We work for the state as well. And sometimes when we actually go and take people's lands, we're not exactly the procedure to follow. And that is what we're asking for. We're just asking for a procedure in a legislative session that should allow that. And it's not even to say that we might go and ask for 200,000 or millions or whatever. It may never happen when this conversation takes place. You may find that there's a modification that's allowed, etc. But the fact of the matter is, at a point in time, we're getting these needs to the table. Transit rate, rail or transit itself needs to have a legal position, a legal basis for doing it. That's what we're asking for. The conversation taking place is quite right, and everything can be identified at that point in time and comes here. But without a basis of it up front, then you have a problem.
Thank you.
I noticed even the presentation I can notice that it was given by scientists. So you find Jefferson abandoning into the multi-way plans in you know, then my question would be what motivated the multidisciplinary team? Because you were have to legislate for each and everything that we want to do. For instance, because then, if I share through the deal and they also specify, you know, the change settlement. What happens? One day we wake up and decide, no, you know, these things are better suited to come to Johannesburg. And now we have a legislation that emphasizes not the case. And instead of hosting to particularly municipal jobs of life, and what happens if we rename that municipality? You know, it's there, on page 7, you know. So, in the back of my mind, I said, well, this is a good idea. But then, we have a lot of conquering in this. Chapter 1 tells us about this. And chapter 2, the declaration of astronomy. And chapter 3, management of astronomy. You know, so that then, now you are in line with the scientists. You know, we think alike like them, which is, when they fail to do this, maybe we need to put a legislation that will really protect some of the things. So then now, from the motivation that we get to see, in a context, there needs to be a 13 square radius in Lama, California, something. 0 to 2 people, certain radius. It means we'll never grow the population of Northern Cape, by the way. We'll always have 600,000 people, you know. And the minute they try to grow the population, they will migrate to Gauteng. I know, we all come to Gauteng. Yeah, and I'm thinking we'll never be able to deploy Woody Boots there to grow the population of Northern Cape. So, who call it Gama, SKA? I've tried to look for its meaning. I could not find it, Secretary. Maybe they can clarify us. And I noticed that Gama says on page 2, there is that technology that is put there. I was there. So, that's why I say, you know, we're talking to scientists, and now they are not coming down to our level. What motivated them to say, we really need to protect this, we really need to put in our management. Because at some stage they say that people will not be allowed to go into some of these places that have been declared. So it means it will be illegal. And find about why I'm there and they will not know. I'm not supposed to be working there. Now in Milano, I decide to go on a side scene. I think it's beautiful. And then there was an input from Ubaba Lapayana about Europe. Why use the currency of Europe? A 1.3 billion can happen. You know, scientists, they have other technologies. Maybe they learn something else. I assume that it's currency. Why 1.3 billion euros? Why are they using euros? These are things. These are capital they're using rent. And you go internationally, you'll be told there are dollars. Line of China is dollar. The people is dollar. But now, there is less specification in how euros are used.
Thank you. I think the bottom line is that I said to the beginning that if scientific things are very hard, one natural law that I know says the law of uneven development is one of the law of nature. Actually, I think in terms of development, we really need it. I'm the problem with Peter Brooks. fault by fault on this particular mission. You know, so you really understand the duty. I don't know why it's possible to do that today or next week. In the language, the layman them. You see, I thought I think what the oil is number is. But move the speed on the slope. Not the speed of the radius of course. But I think that's what the number is. Any comment for the back?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, it will be possible just to briefly go through the details of the bill. We have requested my colleague Mapula Kulisa to do that, just to give the overall view, but also to go through each and every page, just to say what the intention was. But before she does, I should state that in the world today, the northern hemisphere, that is north of the equator, is so heavily populated and so easy in terms of radio transmission that it is virtually impossible to do radio astronomy in the country. South Africa, in southern Africa, is one of the few left areas in the world that can conduct good radio astronomy experiments. And it seems fit that the department put down a bill that would preserve this commodity which has become rare in the world, so that we can continue to attract astronomy investments over and above the southern large telescope, the solar telescope in Manila. I thought perhaps I should start with that. The likelihood of the telescope moving to Gauteng, I think it's very considering the growing size. And that is why we thought the Northern Cape was the best. And even in the Northern Cape, the idea is not to have zero radio transmission. That is definitely not the point. But the point is to minimize it within reasonable limits, that we provide a win-win solution.
Thank you.
Is there another hand here? Yes. Yeah. Just in addition to the size itself, besides the population, the Northern Cape is still among worldwide inclusive the province within South Africa that has the cleanest skies in terms of this technology, the cleanest air in terms of this technology, and little stuff. So those are the considerations that we looked at in terms of looking at where this project will be based. So those are the key other key areas that we need to consider. Cleanliness of the air, cleanliness of the sky, and the fact that it is in this field. Not popular.
No, I
think
okay, then you have to get that.
One point that I thought we could answer now, Chairman, and that's the question of the Eurons before we go on floor by floor. If we do win the bid, it's actually a European investment. It's not from the States or anywhere else.
and the European Space Agency assessment of obviously is that they would be spending something like 1.3 billion euros. That's why it's expected in the European currency.
Also, the way so much so that you can't conceive that it's rent. And so, then you can get it wrong.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. If I can also mention, I'm also not the committee, so just give the brief outline of the bill according to my understanding, the Danish understanding. Okay? Clause 2 is outlined the object of it. As it has already been mentioned, that it's to provide measures to advance astronomy in the country and the region, scientific endeavors in the Republic. I won't go through all the sub-clauses which have been mentioned here. I think this one has been just quite clearly. And then also the application of the air, that this air would officially apply to an exclusive economic zone and continental shelf of the Republic, referred to in section 7 and 8 specifically of the Maritime Zone Act 1994, that is existing. And then the issue of the constitute other legislation that at the commencement of this air, in the event of any conflict between the provision of this air and any other legislation, the relevant provision of this act is the specifically concerns the management of development of an astronomy advantage area for the protection thereof. And then chapter 2 on clause 5 is on page 7 is on the declaration of the astronomy advantage area. This was given the minister the power to declare the areas of the astronomy advantage area. And then the minister will do that through the notice in the Gazette. And then we also have the purpose of astronomy advantage areas that is to ensure that the geographic areas in the Republic which are suitable for astronomy and related scientific endeavors due to, among other things, atmospheric transparency, low levels of light, pollution, low population density, or minimum radio frequency interference are protected, preserved, and properly maintained, and also enhance the existing geographic advantage of those areas highly suitable for astronomy and related scientific endeavors through the restriction activities that could cause light pollution or radio frequency interference in any other ways astronomy and related scientific endeavors. And then on page 8, that is clause 7, just with the declaration processes that the minister may declare a specified area as a core, and then and assign a name to such core astronomy advantage area. And then you can also design the area as a core astronomy advantage area in respect of astronomy and related scientific endeavors. And again, at the middle of it, it says, in making a declaration under Subsection 1A, the minister may identify the land that is subject to the declaration through the use of coordinates, a map, a property description, or combination of the. It provides also for a withdrawal of declaring a land, an area as an astronomy advantage area, because the minister can also, by notice in the Gazette, withdraw such a declaration. And then on Subsection 2, the withdrawal or exclusion can only be done where the purpose of the declaration as provided for in Section 7 2 B is no longer necessary. So, clause 7 and clause 9, 11 on page 9, that actually deal with the declaration of three areas which was already mentioned, that is the core, central, and the host nation, as well as Subsection 8. 10 and 12 is also dealing with the same procedure for withdrawal of those declarations. And then, so 13, that is the initiation of the declaration, that the process for declaration of private land as astronomy advantage area or as part thereof may be initiated by the minister or by any private land owner or NRF making a request for such a declaration, to the minister. And so 14, the endorsement by the Register of Deeds, that the minister must in writing register the Register of Deeds whenever an area is declared as a core central astronomy advantage area. Mm-hmm. And then pattern notification must include the description of the land involved and the terms and conditions of any material used to in section 18. Page 11, clause 15, deals with management authority. That the minister might, by declaration, advance the management of a co-astronomy advantage area or central coordinator to a public entity or an organal state. So such organal state, whether it's a non-official person, institution, public entity, will be the management authority of that particular area. And then any person, upon request of your office out of the relevant management authority, the management authority to whom the management of the astronomical budget area has been assigned to subsection 1 is the custodian of the permanent register of interested and affected parties of the astronomical budget area. Let us mention earlier on that there will be interested and affected parties which will be identified in this case, and there will be a register for those people. That register will be kept by the management authority. And any person may, upon request of the office hours of the relevant management authority, inspect the permanent register of interested and affected parties. And then we have clause 15 for preparation of management plan. It says the management authority assigned to an astronomical budget area in the profession must be to person in writing by the minister submit a management plan in accordance with the criteria specified by the minister for that as astronomical budget area to the minister's approval. And the strategy of internal rules that the management authority of a core astronomical budget area may, after the consultation contemplated in section 16, make rules for the proper administration and protection of the area. These are all the responsibilities and the duties of the management area and the operation. So on page 12 of 18, there is the co-management of core or central astronomy advantage area. That the management authority of a core or central astronomy advantage area may enter into an agreement with an organ of state, a local community, or even an individual or other party for the co-management of the area. And there are regulations of human activities that affect astronomy and related scientific endeavors or astronomy advantage area in the area. This co-management agreement may provide for the education of the area or for functions thereof. Also provide for prohibitions or restrictions on the use of any interference source, mobile radio frequency interference source or short range device or any other device, equipment, instrument which may cause light pollution, radio interference or have any other detrimental impact on the astronomy and related scientific endeavors or astronomy advantage in the area. And then also prior to the making of the change, it says the terms of any co-management area entered into in terms of position, one between the management authority and the owner of the private land, are binding on the successor in title of such area. And then the management authority is also liable for the cost of the material duty as a registration of the title. The termination of the money to manage the astronomy advantage area. This one is a grant to the minister that by notification of the management authority in writing, we can terminate them. We can terminate the management authority. Or we can take the management authority, we can also direct the management authority to take corrective steps such as in the notice within a specified time. And then if the management authority fails to take the required steps, the minister may terminate that management authority's mandate to manage the area and assign a public entity or organ of state as a management authority of the area. Part 2 on clause 20 is the access to co-astronomy advantage area. No person may, without the permission of the management authority, enter any co-astronomy advantage area or reside in that area, or have any position within a co-astronomy advantage area designated by the minister in terms of section 716 for radio astronomy. Any interference source, you cannot have a mobile radio frequency interference source for a short range device unless the source or the device has been turned off and when in that state is incapable of causing any form of radio frequency interference. And they also perform any other activity in the core astronomy and British area. That might be high important to astronomy and related scientific endeavors or to the preservation of the area as astronomy advantage. It seems I do not appreciate to that this section, that is section one of the inhibition to the access and limitations of the devices, does not apply to officers of the department. Does not apply to NRF or another organ of state design designated by the minister in writing to monitor any scientific observation, experiment or research activities conducted in the area. It does also not apply to any police, customs or excise officer entering the area in the performance of the official duty. Also not applicable to any other person acting in response to an emergency, or even the owner or local occupier of any private land within any co-astronomy advantage area who may enter and reside on such private land and in accordance with the provisions of any co-management agreement entered into between the owner or local occupier and the management of area conduct any other activities listed in subsection 1 of such private land. Again, on subsection 4, it says the recent permission granted by the management authority in terms of subsection 1. Any increased conditions might be addressed by the holder of the penalty to mitigate any harmful interest the holder may have on astronomy related scientific endeavors or to the preservation of the area's astronomical advantage. So 21 deals with the use of the aircraft in astronomy area. It says a core and center astronomy advantage area includes the airspace above the area to a level of 18,500 meters above the highest point in the area or such greater height as the minister may declare. Again, the minister may by notice in the government service prohibit or restrict or overfly by any aircraft of any core central astronomy advantage area or impose on any such overfly impose conditions. And then again, if the subsection 2 does not apply in an emergency or to a certain action on the instruction of the management authority. The minister may subject to subsection 6 to stress further reasonable restrictions on overfly of a core central or coordinated astronomy advantage area. But before publishing a notice under subsection 2, that is a notice for the restrictions of overfly or making a regulation under subsection 5, the minister must obtain the concurrence of the minister responsible for transport and the minister responsible for national defense for the publication of the notice or making of the regulation. You must also conduct a public participation process, which is in terms of section 42, and subject to subsection 7, you must notify all persons listed in the permanent register of interested and affected parties for the relevant astronomy advantage area, while existing rights are likely to be directly affected by such notice or regulation. And then the notice must also be in writing and made prior to the commencement of the public participation process contented in subsection 2. And again, must be sent by a registered post or such other method as the relevant person may be agreed to, and also sent to the address given by such person or as indicated in the permanent register of interested and affected parties. Again, following the publication of any notice or making of any regulation under subsection 3 and 5, the Civil Aviation Authority and the Commissioner for the Civil Aviation Authority established an appointed interest of Aviation Act of 1962 and the South African Civil Aviation Authority Act of 1998 respectively must indicate the restrictions and conditions on all aeronautical maps prepared for the Republic. Okay, on part 3, maybe that is 14 restrictions on the use of radio frequency spectrum in astronomy advantage area. So 22.1 says, not pending any other legislation or any right that any person may have been granted in terms of any other legislation, the minister has the authority, subject to subsection 2, within a core central astronomy advantage area, to protect the use of the radio frequency spectrum for astronomy of observation. And then Subsection 2 is the intention to the authority granted in Subsection 1. And with the concurrence of ICASA, insofar as the minister's action is likely to affect broadcasting service license or broadcasting service, the minister may, by notice in the gazette, prohibit completely or restrict in any way the use of specific frequencies within the radio frequency spectrum. We may require the convention within a reasonable time period of analog transmission in the radio frequency spectrum. We may also require any user of the radio frequency spectrum which transmits or broadcasts into a core or a central advantage area to migrate onto a radio frequency or utilize alternative technology that more effectively protects radio astronomy observations. And before publishing a notice under Subsection 2, the minister must conduct a public participation process. I'm just jumping around. On clause 3, it says, notwithstanding anything concerning any other law, CASA must not issue a broadcasting service license or a radio frequency spectrum license after the coming into force of this act, where the service to be licensed will cause radio frequency interference in a core central of dominant advantage area, unless the conditions set out in the license make provision for the protection of such area. On page 15, that is subsection 23, having declared activities in core or central astronomy advantage area, notwithstanding any other national or provincial legislation or local bylaw, the minister may, with the concurrence of ICASA, where this action, this or their action is likely to affect broadcasting service license or broadcasting service, declare that no person may, in a core or central astronomy advantage area, conduct any activity in any of the following categories, that are used on the categories comprising of prospecting or mining activities, the construction, expansion, sample industrial processes, the development of new businesses or residential areas, the expansion of roads, rail, transport networks, the construction and expansion of any airports or airport, the operation, construction or expansion of facilities for the generation, transmission or distribution of electricity, activities capable of causing light pollution, including the installation of operation of street lighting outdoor security lights, activities capable of causing radio frequency interference, including bringing into the area or operating any interference of mobile radio frequency, interference of object range device, activities capable of causing air pollution, and any other which may be detrimental impact on astronomy and related scientific endeavors. And Subsection 3 says the minister may, in relation to the activities contemplated in Subsection 1 and 2, require that any activity ceased subject to the payment of compensation if required by Section 25 of the Constitution, or prescribe conditions under which any activity may continue in order to reduce or eliminate the interest of the activity on astronomy-related scientific endeavors or astronomy advantage in the relevant area. On page 16, that is your 24, identify activities in coordinated astronomy advantage area. The minister through this clause may identify activities which is undertaken in a coordinated area may have a detrimental effect, that is the construction of operation, expansion of any fixed radio frequency, and activities capable of causing light pollution or any other species of causing radio frequency interference. And again, before making a declaration under Subsection 1, the minister must conduct a public participation process in terms of Section 42, and subject to Subsection 5, notify all persons registered in the permanent register of interested and affected parties for the relevant astronomy advantage area whose existing rights are likely to be directly affected by any such notice. Clause 25, authorization to undertake identified activities. The minister may prescribe standards or conditions regarding the manner in which an identified activity may be undertaken in an astronomy advantage area so as not to cause a detrimental impact on astronomers or major scientific endeavors. If no person may under an identified activity or cause such an activity to be undertaken except in accordance with any prescribed conditions from standard birth under the preaching one, or by virtue of the routine suspension. On cross, that is 617, subclause 5, as the 12 there. It says, a report contemplated in subsection 4 is mandatory compiled by a person approved by the competent authority as an expert of the person who intends to identify activity. And the minister must describe the criteria for the approval of the person referred to, that is in subclause 1. And then, at the bottom there, that is subclause 12, whether identify activity in a coordinated astronomy advantage area is part of a broadcasting service license or broadcasting service card but must be the permanent competent authority. Clause 26 deals with the competent authority that when making a declaration under subsection 2, the minister may identify the competent authority responsible for granting authorization in respect of the activities concerned. And the minister may designate any management authority in the Spanish or organ of state to be a competent authority for the purpose of subsection 1. Clause 27, review of identified activities. The minister may declare his or her intention to review any specified identified activities which were locally conducted immediately before a declaration in terms of section 34.1 of the Act 1. And then following the review contemplated in subsection 1 and subject to subsection 3 and 5, the minister may prescribe conditions under which specified identified activities may continue in order to reduce or eliminate the impact of those activities on existing or proposed astronomy in the relevant area or on the astronomy advantage of the area. On clause 5 and 6, is where the identified activities in a coordinated astronomy advantage area is part of a broadcasting service license or broadcasting service. And after carrying out the review contemplated in subsection 1, the minister must notify each other in writing of such review and conditions contemplated in subsection 2. And upon the approval of the notice contemplated in subsection 5, each other must instruct the licensee to take steps within 50 days to reduce or eliminate the impact of the identified activity on existing or proposed astronomy or related scientific endeavors in any astronomy advantage area. Honorable Chair, my colleague just mentioned something about the basic provision clause in chapter 4, so through you, can I get the permission to do a discussion?
Chair, that has asked for her to pause before she proceeds to chapter 4 because I wanted to obtain your advice whether this is really meeting the purpose of what it was meant. Because we shouldn't just do things because we've got to do them. And I think like the purpose was for us to present this in a manner that can be assimilated and engaged on by the NTOP. So I would like the advice of the chair whether what we're doing is really meeting those objectives.
Thank you. I didn't remember if you thought something like that. If you want to talk to chapter 4, you use 1, 2, 3, 4. Not use it everything. Chapter 5, use 1, 2, 3, 4. I also understand the situation in which she is. She will have the second to say now and here and now. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes a little silly, you know. And I don't know if there's any solution. You know, she has another suggestion.
Yes, sir. Just actually to pick up on your suggestion, because you have suggested that, or was it Honorable Mazimuba? I can't remember. But you suggested that the S will come back to deal with this bill again. This was just, if you like, an introduction to the NCOP, but we'll come back much more prepared, pitching this at the level that we have been asked to, so that things are much more clarified on a layman's level, if you like.
not the right thing. There's a proposal that we actually stop here in terms of the presentation that we have done now. So that next time when we meet again, we shall summarize each and every chapter and give us a summary of each and every chapter. I think we have a lot of information. Thank you very much, my sister, for the attempt. We appreciate the decision you have. But that will not be an hour to stop at this level. Okay, I can see you all the time. Now, then, if we will stop here, then, are there any further questions that you want to ask the parties? Some of them are questions of study. Some of them are
typically, you know, if I'm listening when you are going through this bill, I want to know if this bill is a relevant department, was it not supposed to be in the communication department? Because it seems there's somewhere when I go through it that also the communication, yeah, it has that communication department. My second question, as South Africans, do you really have such chief to do all this and why? Because it seems we are not capable or we are enough to do all such things. Thank you, Chairperson.
My question is pretty something
I have one more question as well. In the presentation, you have indicated that, for instance, in relation to broadcasting, that it looks like the situation is going to move from a situation where, you know, something was happening, running there, and then it was also from localization. It's like everywhere. The presenter. It's like everywhere when you talk about broadcasting, you said you want in those areas that will be affected. The switch will be from, you know, on the situation where it will be local broadcasting. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir. The idea is that normally what happens is that you put a transmitter on top of a mountain or a hill, and it will just transmit anywhere around where it is.
Yeah.
Currently, the technology is where we can limit the transmission to a certain area. So there are plans, and I believe there are also towns already in the Northern Cape that are using this technology, where it even improves the quality of reception that they get, because it's now localized only to that area.
And one can already see the work that is done in the Karutari Telescope is the smaller version of the work that's done in the SKA. But already now, they already built a telescope, one, the first one of our telescope that will be used, which is at the Hadrosis Hadrosis, the radio astronomy observatory. And the telescope that they are currently developing will actually set a forerunner for the big SKA. And hopefully, Sadeka will be the country that will provide the very technology for the SKA. And have a collaboration with some international institutions in the very field of investment. There's a lot of work in that.
Okay.
Chair, I think we shouldn't underestimate our capabilities as a country, which is what my colleague
Fatimino was saying, that we actually have skilled individuals, skilled groups in South Africa. Right here in Pineland, in Cape Town, there is an office called the Karoo RA Telescope Office, where they're developing various technologies on how this telescope is going to operate. To such an extent that the Australians and even the Americans have requested some of the individuals in this office to assist them in developing the overall technology of their space. We certainly are not in over our head on this one. We are very much ready to take this thing on because we do have the people that can drive this sort of thing forward in a very meaningful way. And that has also been demonstrated by the successful of the Salt Telescope in Glasgow, which actually is even better than the original version of the telescope currently in the USA.
I think it's
very
good, actually.
It's
really good. Yeah. That's what the US Department of Federal Technology told us, that the challenge that we are facing is a transition. Is that the scientists that are there are old, white, and all the challenge is to bring in young talent, you know? And if you are saying, yes, we are now getting that young talent, and we will come to the task, congratulations.
Yeah. I always take advantage of the last week. I think to add on to what you said, is that for one to develop an interest, there must be something that people should be interested in. Now, if we talk about SKA and there's nothing around people are seeing related to that, there's no way we're going to develop interest. Now, with this project, particularly the 1%, which is the NIRCAS, the small prototype development that we are doing in the country, is to create that interest of young people, that when you take them to these institutions where these things are being developed and say, this is what you can do if you take onto this field, they are able to see physically that indeed there is such a thing and it's possible. So to broaden the skills in terms of this particular project, and science broadly, we need a niche to create a niche for ourselves and say, let's look at the astronomy area, which is hardly done by the world by the world itself. And we're saying that for Africans, we're going to concentrate on this niche that we've created ourselves and take our young people into that. And therefore, by focusing, we develop and enlarge the very minimum scope that we still have in terms of the skills that we have. So this project will be the key driver of us developing our scientists towards that we are NPM.
I'm the same as when you come after the
department. Yeah, thank you, Chair. The question that was raised was, is this bill in the right department?
Yeah.
I'm sure from the explanation of some of my colleagues, you might have picked up on that. The establishment or the development of the SKA is not like the erection of a cell phone mast. It's technology that is not known. It's frontier technology, which means there's none in the world that exists to do what the SKA needs to do. So there's a lot of research and development. That's why the comment of my colleague that the office assignments, what those engineers and scientists are doing is groundbreaking in astronomy, and so even that skill is in demand internationally. So, would the Department of Communication be able to do that? I don't think so. But as a Department of Science and Technology, we are not waiting alone. We consult the Department of Communication in a number of issues, including this one, because as you know, the Department of Communication is a custodian of ICASA, if you like. So then the implications with regard to the authority and the role of ICASA, and we've been having bilateral and multilateral discussions in that regard. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to bring this in. As far as the complaint or the assertion by the Department of Science and Technology of the lack of skills and that is white neighbors and all that, obviously we did not explain in the presentation of the bill as to what we are doing, but as also part of building skills and human resources in this particular area, we have already appointed, and the members might have heard, of what is called the South African Research Chair Initiative. And we have appointed a number of research chairs in astronomy, especially radio astronomy. And these are world-class researchers, some of them from South Africa, others from overseas, which will be undertaking research at universities and at science councils in this country. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yes, just to support my colleague further, it's not just the fact that some of the technology is frontier type, but it's the focus of the work of the observatory in that it's around astronomy. So if the instrument that you're putting up was around communication, then if its primary focus was just communication, then it could be with the Department of Communication. Because the function of this instrument is astronomy, so it lines with the Department of Science and Technology, and then we need to work closely with those departments that have authority over those instruments that are enablers, like the communication side through cars and so on. Because sometimes, like in biotechnology and so on, we will have to work with the Department of Agriculture, we will have to work, but because it's about a field of science, this is why the DSC initiates and takes that meeting role.
Thank you. Are you having any questions?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, no, one can only cross one's fingers and think that the hope and trust that we will get this and once we create a condition that we will Chair, the question that I wanted to ask is on chapter 2, page 7. It says here, designation under section 1.3 of the management of current to the minister responsible for local government, the criminal province concerned, and the affected minister. It's all well and good, but my question is, once you involve the minister of local government, would it be wise to involve the energy for the government in the because you need to put some in the premier, the minister, and maybe the mayor will understand that you can use the energy up to the energy is to the end of the country. If I could just get an explanation for that.
La question que tu as posée, parce que hier et hier, les gens qui sont trop management. Ils vont se faire un private management, kind of the sort of take care of managing the area. And then, on issues of fines, I noticed there are fines even right at the end. They pick up a million rand from there on 3.26 or in 2 minutes. Are we not? Actually trying to tell the court how to find about the innovation protection violations that might have happened in the innovation police in case a person violates here and there, blah, 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 blah. And then last in chapter 3, you know, I'm curious, you know, during the about this area time, you know, why do you have mechanisms, you know? You remember there was that rumor that don't drink machine, but Bagamas take control so that the people do not increase their population. There's not another way to explain that. Maybe they're trying to reduce our population in South Africa. So they think of other ways. You know, if you need a cell phone, they'll tell you there's a huge problem. So these things that will be coming from the telescope, I'm not at all going to affect people's
You know, even when you go to a hospital, they will tell you, now you are What about these other rays that will be coming, that will be flying? You know, we use aeroplane captain, maybe they will cut across the Angula, not in Angula, the Angula, Pamana, 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 Pamana,
and just leave you with some assurances that these radio signals, they are coming through from deep space anyway. It's just that we can't hear them. And so what you've got is these are not telescope observatories that you look out into deep space. No, these are listening. That's what we call them, radio astronomy telescopes. So they're listening for noise and sounds that have been coming from the time of the Big Bang, and in us capturing these noises and listening to what was going on in the universe so many thousands, million years ago, that we'll be able to unpack and analyze how things change in the galaxy over time, and it deepens our understanding of how Earth will evolve itself and our solar system. But I leave that to some of the better the scientists who are able to give you the deep science basis. And just to assure you that there has been work. It's not harmful rains or anything.
Thank you.
Chairman,
just to add to the speaker, the chemicals by their nature do not emit any rays. They only take. So there's no danger of any,
thank you, Honorable Chair. If I may start with the first one on the MEQ of the provinces, I don't think that would make much of a difference if the Department of Optics that the reference to the MEQ, but this one will also take me with the state law advisors. However, I don't think it would make any difference. And then when coming to the one of fire, that is the one on offensive. The idea here was not actually to dictate to the court how much fire they can charge when sending someone to psychosurveying in part of the fiction. It was just to, I think it was just a direction of how to determine the significance of the offensive. Whether they can measure it in terms of the schedule in the criminal procedure act, then this will just give the indication of how to look at the particular offense that
how to that this also can actually be measured. I really don't believe it's actually detecting as a quantum, just to give the direction, but it's, the rationality behind it. Yeah, that are the two questions actually I wanted to answer.
Thank you,
sir. If I may also add to what the legal advisor from the Department was saying, with regard to the fine, it is not a precise into the court but the, in the enabling act, there must be something that sort of gives a framework for the court to determine the punishment according to the offense that is committed. So if that is not, then there is a sort of a, there is a determination of fine and which is for lesser offenses. Then if you don't mention in legislation, then the court will use that one. But if you want to detect in according to the offenses that are committed and the seriousness of the offenses, you in a legislation prescribe that for the court to
the upper limit.
Yeah.
The upper limit.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to also to cover with the skill. The treatment was mentioned by the honorable member next to me. If you enjoy your attention to growth 47. So there is 47-1D. So the NRC, in addition to any powers and functions that the NRF may be given under this act or any other legislation for the purpose of promoting astronomy, preserving the Republic of South African Astronomy Advantage and achieving the other related objectives of this act, the NRF that is now in John Tukini, then develop strategies along or after consultation with academics and technical institutions and the relevant skills development agency for the enhancement of the skills, capabilities, and expertise of those interested in engaging in astronomy and research studies and letters in Southern Africa, and to encourage and facilitate the participation of previous teams with advantage groups in astronomy and research studies. So, which is the aim and the objective of this bill. As it is mentioned in the clause 2, 2B.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we've all said our things. There is nobody to want to speak. I want to take this opportunity to thank the very much department for having briefed us. Very important piece of legislation. And I can assure you that like I indicated when we finish the first one, we will as committee and current focuses it. And what it means, I think next week we're going to take the interest of information. Then next week we'll be meeting next week Wednesday. By that I think we'll finalize. And we have said that we will be very happy to be able to give us that is not the issue of the chapter, number one. Number two is that I think we are a little more interested in response on, I think, also what Translate is saying. I want to respond on what Translate is saying. And like I said initially, that I think also other, to the table that came from the public into the NPA. I don't know whether it's to yourself or I don't think when they are fresh, you must be able to respond to already. But those things, you can just you are the responsible. So let me look at them as well, you know, and understand as to where you're coming from, when you reject or agree with one or two, whatever you are dealing with or whatever you're facing, so you know where you're coming from. Once again, thank you very much for this meeting. My friend tells me that he's arranged some lunch for us in March